Chapter 38.
Skywalker and Kenobi stood on the bridge of the Vigilance, which was closing the distance fast. "Obi-Wan!" Anakin said, watching the Banshee head straight for a Separatist dreadnought. "We can't allow them to escape again. We've got to fire on them."
"And risk killing all on board?"
Kenobi shook his head.
"No. We must take them back to the temple alive. There's too much they know that we need to find out."
"Yes," he thought bitterly. "By all means, let's make sure we keep them alive, only to kill them in the end anyway."
"Just a graze, I promise," Anakin insisted. "It'll damage their ship and they'll be forced to land. It's far better than the alternative of them getting away."
Kenobi stroked his beard, pondering. Ventress's ship was closing the gap.
"All right," he said.
Anakin turned to Threepwood, the clone at the weapons station.
"Fire when ready. Bring them down." "Aye, sir."
They had almost reached the waiting dreadnought. Ventress was all too keenly aware of the Jedi cruiser behind them. She was torn between taking evasive maneuvers and getting the Banshee into the hangar as soon as possible. She reached into the Force.
"Hang on!"
she cried. Ventress pulled the ship hard to port, but not in time to evade the Jedi's attack. The Banshee rocked violently. Smoke began to fill the cabin as the controls went haywire. Frantically, Ventress tried to keep the Banshee heading toward the open hangar. But like a Rancor set on charging, the ship would no longer obey her. She couldn't make it to the ship, but maybe she could land it on Christophsis. There was no question at this point but that they were going to crash. The question was, how hard?
"Hang on!" she shouted. "Strap in and brace yourselves! I'm going to try to set us down."
They hurtled through the atmosphere, the unforgiving crystalline ground rushing up as if eager to meet them.
Ventress struggled with the controls, trying desperately to slow the fall, get the nose up.
She let go of the controls and tapped into her fear and anger, commanding the Force. She would not die in a ridiculous crash. There were questions she needed answers to. She poured forth all her will, insisting, demanding that the Banshee slow, even out, and they slammed into the surface. Obi-Wan piloted the Jedi shuttle to the crash site and hovered over it. He and Anakin stared at it silently. It had been easy to locate. Ventress had left a trail of sheared-off blue-green crystal in what was obviously a barely controlled approach.
"You assured me it would be just a graze," Obi-Wan said.
"Sorry, sir," said Threepwood. "They veered at the last minute."
"Let us hope there are survivors," Kenobi said. "Prepare to take on injured."
As he settled the shuttle down on a flat area near the wreckage, Obi-Wan wasn't optimistic. The crash was bad. The clone had been right. Probably using her Force sensitivity, Ventress had indeed made a sudden move at the last minute. What was intended to be a graze had ended up being a solid strike at the ship's stern, and the engines had been damaged. Christophsis was a bad planet on which to crash, and the Banshee had not landed gently. Bits of debris were strewn everywhere. The two Jedi, lightsabers ignited, and Threepwood, Tracker, and Boyle, the clones who had accompanied them, made a silent circle about the downed vessel. Anakin signaled for the others to stay back as he stepped forward to cut a hole in the ship's door with his lightsaber. Using the Force, he pulled out the circular chunk of metal and placed it down. Smoke billowed out. He stuck his head inside, then turned to look at Kenobi. His face was contorted in anger.
"They're not here!"
"Sir!"
Tracker called out to them.
"There's blood here! I think they kicked their way out of the forward viewport in the cockpit."
Kenobi looked. There was indeed blood. Quite a lot of it.
"Well," he said, "someone's been injured. They can't have gone far, then. Start searching the forest."
anger, Ventress thought sourly, was good for so many things. Right now, it was doing a superb job of keeping her on her feet, even moving with a fair approximation of speed, although her left knee and shoulder had been gouged by the shattered controls when they slammed into the unforgiving ground. They were heading for a tower where Dooku assured them they would find ships waiting to take them off-world to their next destination. She had no idea where that would be, of course. No one was telling her anything. Voss had some bruises, but otherwise appeared to have escaped unscathed. Dooku was the most severely injured of the three. He hadn't been properly strapped down in the ship's hold when the Jedi had fired on the ship, and he was paying the price. He had one arm slung around Voss for support as they made their way through huge, jutting hexagons that comprised what served Christophsis for a forest. As if on cue, she heard that smooth-as-silk voice, tense now with pain, pant,
"I have to stop."
"Ventress, hold up," Voss said. He lowered Dooku to the ground, propping him up against a tall, blue-green natural obelisk. The Count winced and put a hand to his side. Ventress gritted her teeth.
"Of course. The one we came to kill is going to get us all killed."
Shaking her head, she limped up to Voss and shoved him hard.
"You promised me that it would be over!"
Her words made Dooku chuckle, though he winced slightly at the pain.
"Over? My dear Ventress, quite the opposite. It's only begun."
A cold finger of apprehension traced its way along her spine.
"Voss," she said slowly, "what's he talking about? What aren't you telling me?"
Voss jerked his head at Dooku, then took her elbow and attempted to steer her out of hearing range. She wrenched her arm free, but accompanied him.
"I have something better in store for us," Voss said in a low voice. "You have to trust me on this one, Asajj, okay?"
His eyes were pleading.
"This isn't about you," she said. "This plan was about us. Together. Remember?"
"It is about us. I promise."
"You've been making promises an awful lot in the last hour,"
Ventress said. If he were anyone else, she'd simply strike off on her own at this point. But where could she go? She'd help Voss escape, with Count Dooku himself in tow, no less. Somehow, she didn't think the Jedi would offer her a pardon a second time. And she could still sense Voss's feelings for her. Whatever this plan was, he really was doing what he thought was best for the two of them. She had to keep trusting him, at least for now. This time when he touched her face hesitantly, mindful of her turning away from him as she had earlier, she sighed and leaned her cheek into his hand.
"If you two lovebirds are done with your nauseating display,"
came the Count's unwelcome voice,
"we should probably keep moving."
Ventress turned to him, not bothering to hide her loathing.
"You were the one who asked us to stop,"
she reminded him. At that moment, her comlink began to blink. She looked at it in surprise, then started to thumb it off.
"No," Voss said. "Go over there. Take it."
She nodded. She limped a meter or two away from them, leaned against a chunk of stone, and answered. A hologram of Obi-Wan Kenobi popped up. He lifted his hands pleadingly.
"Ventress, don't disconnect, please. Hear me out."
In a whisper, she said,
"I don't have time for this, Kenobi."
"I'll be brief. Master Yoda has sensed that Voss has turned to the dark side. He has entered into a partnership with Count Dooku. You must convince him to surrender, or we'll be forced to execute him."
She inhaled swiftly. Execute? First Dooku, now Voss? She'd never expected this from the Jedi. Then the other words the Jedi had said sank in. No, it wasn't possible. She'd been able to sense the darkness in Voss before, but that was gone. He'd come back from it, as she had. But no matter how much she believed Voss loved her, he had insisted on bringing Dooku, and he was definitely keeping something from her. Ventress looked over at the two men. Both were watching her, but neither could hear what she or Kenobi was saying. Keeping her voice low, she whispered,
"You're wrong, Kenobi. He's going to complete his mission. You must give us time."
Ventress clicked it off and took a deep breath. Voss stepped up to her.
"What did he say?"
he asked quietly, not wanting Dooku to overhear. She spoke bluntly.
"Obi-Wan told me you've turned to the dark side. He says they're going to kill us all unless you surrender."
Voss's eyes widened at the word kill, but he shook his head firmly.
"Surrender? Now? No way. Not when we're this close."
"Close to what?"
His expression softened. He cupped her bone-white face in his dark hands.
"Close to the end. Close to being utterly and completely free."
He bent and kissed her tenderly. And Ventress returned his kiss almost desperately, hoping with all that was in her that he was right.
"She's blinded by love," Anakin said, not without sympathy.
Kenobi didn't disagree. All he said was,
"We've got to find them."
His comlink chirped again, and he answered quickly, hoping it was Ventress. Instead, the image of a grim-faced Mace Windu appeared.
"What's your status, Master Kenobi?"
"We were in pursuit of the vessel and brought it down to the surface. Looks like all aboard survived, and unfortunately managed to escape. We're following them now. At least one appears to be injured."
Obi-Wan hesitated.
"We spoke briefly with Ventress, but she said very little. She doesn't believe Voss has turned. She says he is close to completing his mission."
He hated how uncertain his voice sounded. Mace, however, was decidedly not uncertain in his response.
"If he was close, it should have already been completed. The time for action is now. Trying to bring them in alive was clearly a mistake. Find the fugitives and execute them."
A still, small voice inside Obi-Wan Kenobi said,
"This is wrong."
"All of them?"
he asked in disbelief.
"Anyone who gets in your way,"